Yeah. I already don't like bugs to begin. I'm gonna stop right there, or I'm just gonna keep rambling. I'm just gonna focus in. So today, in our readings, we got this letter from Paul to the church in Rome. We've got the gospel from Matthew. And in Matthew, Jesus is talking a lot about rewards. You know, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. And if you receive a righteous person in the name of a righteous person, you receive a righteous man's reward. And any who gives even a cup of cold water to a little one. Reward, reward, reward. And I have to admit, that passage kind of throws me a little bit, because I feel like what I've been taught, what I've been ingrained in me, in my background of the Lutheran faith, is that when I focus, if I turn the lens around and focus on myself and on my reward and what I'm getting, that I'm kind of like losing the big picture, that really what my faith is about is that I'm supposed to be focused on Jesus and on loving other people, and the reward is kind of secondary. That's maybe that jives with what you've been taught, maybe not, but that's kind of where I'm coming from when I read this passage in Matthew. So it throws me a little bit, but on the same token, it's pretty reassuring, I think, to hear Jesus name this and say, essentially, these actions, these words that you offer, these actions that you take are significant. And we're paying attention, and we're not going to forget them. That's that's pretty cool. And so I find myself, feeling a little bit reassured, affirmed by Jesus' words. And then Paul comes out of left field with the wages of sin are death, and just, catches me off guard, and I'm like, ugh! And Paul goes further and says that, sin will have no dominion over you when you're living under grace. And I'm like, oh no, Paul, I got a level with you, buddy. I still sin. There's still stuff in my life that I do that I shouldn't, and things that I should be doing that I'm not. And so as, I'm grappling with that, then the doubts creep in. It's is this me? Is this have I missed the boat? Have I, not really accepted this message of God's love for me and for the world, that I still have to deal with the sin? I mean, I'm really glad when we come every week and we have our confession and absolution and hear again God's word of forgiveness for us. I need it. And so Paul's words make me nervous. But this is what I've kind of boiled it down to. This was my thought as I was getting ready for this week. If grace is a gift from God, given to us because of what Jesus has done, because of who God is, and if the wages of sin are death, and I recognize that yet in my life there is still sin, which of those two things wins out? Is it the gift that I've been given, or is it the wages that I'm earning? When push comes to shove, which one gets the right of way? And as I reflected on this, it made me think about a story that perhaps you've heard before. This is a story of two friends on a journey across the desert. And just for the sake of clarity, I'm going to give them the names Sarah and Ruth, because it's easier than just saying the friend, the friend, the friend. So Sarah and Ruth are on this journey through the desert, and as they're walking along, they're talking to pass the time, and they get into a bit of an argument, and it gets heated, and Sarah slaps Ruth, just strikes her across the face, and Ruth is really hurt by this. She's upset, but she doesn't say anything. What she does is she writes in the sand the phrase, "On this day, my best friend struck me." Just writes that in the sand, and they keep going. Things are a little tense. They're not talking so much anymore, but they still got this journey to make. And so they go a little further, and Sarah and Ruth come to this oasis that they knew they were going to get to. They had planned to refresh themselves there. And so as they step into the water to wash the sand from their weary bodies and to refresh themselves and have a drink. Ruth missteps into some muck and mire that is far deeper than she expected, that grabs her legs and starts to pull her down, and she starts to drown. So Sarah rushes over, grabs Ruth, pulls her out onto the shore, and Ruth recovers, and then goes over to one of the stones around the oasis and carves into the rock, "On this day, my best friend saved my life." And so Sarah says to Ruth, she says, "Ruth, you know, I saw you write in the sand. I saw you write this on the rock. What gives here?" And Ruth tells Sarah that she had been taught that when someone hurts us, when someone harms us, that we should write it down in the sand where the winds of forgiveness can blow it away. But that when someone does something good for us, that we must engrave it on the stone where no wind can ever erase it. And I have to wonder if that is very similar to what is going on in our relationship with God. That in the midst of sin that might be in our lives and the grace that we are given, that the grace that we receive is what holds. That nothing that we do, that nothing that the sands and winds of time in this world can throw at it will shake that. That foundation that we have in Jesus. Because if this promise of eternal life rested on our shoulders, on my shoulders, I know I'd be really stuck in the mud. But God's promise is good today, tomorrow, and every day. Not because of us, but because of who God is and what God has done. You know, the kingdom of God is not about everyone getting what they have earned. Because as Paul tells us, what we earn when we sin is death. New life is not something we deserve because of the strength of our belief or the work of our hands. Rather, it is a gift we receive because of God's love for us. And God's gift of grace means that we are free to live without worrying about whether we have done enough to earn our keep, about whether we have balanced the scales in our favor. The stone that God rolled away from Jesus' tomb stands as a testament throughout all time that our salvation is written upon Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So, if Jesus has freed us to live our lives defined by the gift of God's grace rather than by the weight of the law on our shoulders and on our actions, what then? What does this freedom mean for us here today? What does it mean that we do not have to prove our worth by the good that we have done or by a lack of sin in our own lives? I wonder if the churches in Rome were grappling with these same questions when Paul wrote the letter to them. Because this is precisely what he's speaking to when he says that, should we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. You know, God has freed us through Christ's action, but God still desires for us to live out this good news in our words and actions. And just because we're free from sin does not mean that sin no longer affects us or our lives or the lives of the people around us. You know, our faith is not meant to divorce our actions from their outcomes. You know, perhaps you've heard this little joke before about, little Jimmy one night is praying before bed, and his parents are there, and they're praying with him, and Jimmy prays for a new bicycle. And after they get done praying, his parents say, "You know, Jimmy, like, remember what we learned in Sunday school? God doesn't just grant wishes. Like, that's not exactly how God works. God gives us love and forgiveness and calls us to share love and forgiveness in the world." And he's like, "Yeah, I remember." But then the next day, as the parents are about the house, Jimmy comes back home from hanging out with friends, riding a new bicycle. And the parents say, Jimmy, where'd you get this new bicycle? And he said, oh, well, I know that God doesn't work that way to just have me pray for it and give it to me. So I stole Bobby's bike, and I'm just going to ask for forgiveness. It matters to God how we live, because God desires us to be spreading love and forgiveness and not just taking advantage of it. And it certainly matters to our neighbors how we live, because it makes a big difference in their lives and in our communities if we're the people that are caring for those who are poor or in need, for those who are sick or oppressed, or if we're the people who are simply going around looking for the bicycle that we can snag because we know we can ask forgiveness for it later. It seems particularly appropriate to reflect on the freedom that we know in Christ as we come upon our nation's celebration of freedom and independence. And so this week, as you hopefully are being safe and enjoying the festivities, may you reflect on the good news that God's gift of freedom is for you. That no matter what list of deeds may be written in the sands of time, that God's love, God's forgiveness is greater. A solid truth carved upon the rock of our salvation. And may you consider how this grace then frees you to live life for others, to be a part of sharing and spreading God's love in the world. May you welcome the people around you in Christ's name, offering love and hospitality in your words and your actions. For you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen.